Welcome to the Second Court of Appeals. We have four cases being submitted today. Three of which have oral argument. The panel today consists of myself. On my right is Justice Meyer. On my left is Justice Gabriel. And that being said, we'll commence by calling the first case. All right, let's proceed.
Good morning, Justices. I appreciate you taking the time to listen to a pro se litigant argue his first case before an appellate court. This case involved the appellant trying to get his credit straight, and he tried to get some attorneys to help him, but they worked for the other side, and he tried to file something himself. This case has two major points that I would like to bring to the court's attention. I am an indigent. I have what they call post-concussion syndrome, brain damage. I have about a 3-hour span all day long to do what I'm doing now. And after that, it just goes down. I can't function very well at all. And I was accepted in the trial court as an indigent. I was accepted in this court as an indigent. And I have, when I filed my brief, I have cited many cases where that indigents, even this court has agreed, that has been accepted in the trial court and accepted in the appellate court, that they should not pay attorney's fees. But then we have something new here called the 91A. And they say it's similar to a 12B motion in the federal statutes, but it's really not, because a 12B motion would allow an individual to go back in and to more fully draft out his pleadings, more direct. But there's no mandatory fees of attorney's fees at all with a 12B motion. A federal judge could do so, but there is no mandatory whatsoever. In this particular case, the 91A says that there is a mandatory for to have attorney's fees, but it does give an exception, and that is to governmental entities and a public official acting in his or her capacity under the color of law. I don't think that when they were developing this 91A that they considered an indigent person who also did not have the funds to file his filing fees in the trial court or the appellate court. I argue today, Your Honor, that the 91A was developed without that conscious effort. But there's numerous cases that has been cited by the appellant here in his brief in criminal courts where that courts have said that if you are accepted in both, then you don't have to pay attorney's fees. This case also looks at one other topic, and that is whether or not an order obtained by fraud should be vacated. The attorneys on both sides, we have two major attorneys that's on both sides of this case, and they submitted their attorney's fees to the trial court. What was suspicious to me is that both amounts of money were almost practically the same, within a couple hundred dollars. I felt like that was not logical, in my opinion, because one attorney may work a little bit harder, another. Well, they told the trial court that this 91A, we're not very familiar with it. In fact, the judge, I began to cross-examine the attorneys, finding out who did what. Did the attorney do the fees? Did the attorney do the research? Did a clerk do the research? And if so, how much do she make? I'm trying to find out, how did you come up with these figures? How are they so close? Well, the judge stopped me. He said that, you know, he felt like that I was battering the witness, and he said he'd throw me in jail if I continued. So I stopped. One of the things that the attorneys did do, Amy Sagadin and a Michael Woodson, they told the trial court that they had actual case law that said that a person who was indigent in a civil case would have to pay attorney's fees. Well, I did all my research, and though I don't have but 3 hours, you know, I still did my research, and I couldn't find it. And when they filed their brief, I couldn't find it because they told the court something that wasn't true. The judge did not even want to see it. He says, I accept it. He granted them the attorney's fees based on what their arguments were, based on what they said, because they are attorneys. I'm going to cite just a few things to the court. McMurray and McMurray, that the willful giving of false testimony by a party to an action in relationship to a matter affecting an issue to be tried is fraud. And also, in common with all other courts, they have the power when a judgment, order, or decree has been entered without jurisdiction, or in this particular case, what I'm arguing, or when obtained by fraud or such means or held, render the judgment, orders, decrees void. And that's Heath et al. Versus Lane. This case is very important to indigent people like me. The appellees argue that, well, if you let this go, then, I mean, you'll have indigent people filing all kind of pleadings and we won't be able to get our attorney's fees. Well, that same argument, I'm sure, was possibly thought of many years ago when we said that indigent parties didn't have to pay their filing fees. We're indigent. We try to do the best that we can. I tried to hire an attorney. This is a very specialized type of law when we're talking about credit. It is not like anything else I've ever dealt with before. And I did the best that I could. But as an indigent person who the money that I get every month doesn't even pay all the bills and I'm always shortfalling from it, this court decision will set the pace for all other courts to look at, for all other indigent people everywhere. And I ask this court that in this particular instance, that indigent people should have a right to file in a court of law. They should have a right to do the best that they can, but if they cannot pay thousands of dollars of attorney's fees, and I didn't have to be here today. I didn't have to. I could have found a way out of it, but this is so important for other indigent people that's out there, that's trying also to do the best that they can, Your Honors, to represent themselves in a court of law. As I looked at my credit, there were things on there that was not even close to being that should be on there for me. And I did the best that I could. I'm not going to stand here and argue of no other points, because I believe that this case is really centered on these two points. Indigent people who's been inducted as approved as an indigent person in the trial court and the appellate court should not be made to pay attorney's fees. And 91A should not have anything to do with that, of superseding that. And when a judge in a trial court grants attorney's fees based upon misrepresentation or fraudulent behavior, that order should be void. Thank you.
I have a question, Mr. Drake.
Yep.
I've pulled the pleadings that were filed in this case, and I want to be careful that that is correct in what is said in the briefing that was filed, that there are two pleadings that you filed pro se in this case. One's called the plaintiff's original petition. That was filed on July the 11th of 2013.
Yes, sir.
And then there was a plaintiff's first motion to amend pleadings that was filed on July 31st of 2013.
Yes, sir.
Those are the two pleadings you filed in this case. Isn't that correct?
Yes, sir. It is.
All right. I just want to be careful I had those down. Now, you understand that the statutes that are passed by the legislature are things that govern what a court can do in terms of a court's decisions. We're bound as judges to follow the law and not try to make it. And whenever we have a clear indication of what the law says, that becomes what it is that we're supposed to do as judges on appellate court in ruling on our cases. And you understand that principle, don't you?
I do.
And do you also understand that the ordering of attorney's fees in a trial court is a function of the trial judge's following what he believes to be the law, then it becomes our duty to interpret, was that correct in what he decided the law was?
Yes, sir.
And there's not, by virtue of the provisions in Rule 91, all of them, including 91.7 about the attorney's fees, that's not preventing a person who is indigent from filing a lawsuit. You understand the fact that even if they're going to, if they come in later and say, okay, you got to pay attorney's fees, that's still not keeping an indigent person in the state of Texas from filing a lawsuit. You can go to court and file a lawsuit if you just pay the filing fee or get, be declared indigent and don't even have to pay that.
Right.
So this ruling, that whatever ruling we do in this case, is not going to prevent an indigent person from filing lawsuits in the state of Texas.
Yes, sir, and I understand that.
Okay.
But what it will do, though, it a 91A is used as a club by a defense attorney to dispose of a case quicker than a summary judgment. And so what it would do, yeah, I think it would allow that defense attorney to constantly use this to say that he can't prove any of these facts, it's frivolous or whatever, even before we get into discovery, even before we get to a point where that, you know, this case could be developed. And that's the reason why this case is very important. No, it's not stopping me from filing an initial case, but I don't believe that from the case law that I cited in my brief, where that time and time and time and time again, including this court, courts has ruled that if the person is indigent, he's indigent. 91A doesn't say anything about the indigent party.
And I want to assure you that I've read your brief thoroughly, and the cases you cited, some of the cases you cited, all of them, ones that are relevant to the points that you asked. And so this court has given due consideration to the filings that you've given, that you filed in our court, and I want you to know that. And I appreciate you coming here as a pro se litigant and doing the best you can.
Well, I do appreciate it, and thank you, Justice. Any other questions? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court.
Well, let me start you off with a question.
Sure.
What about DTPA cases and breach of contract cases and such where the trial court can award attorney's fees to the losing party? What do cases say about the indigency of those parties against whom attorney's fees are awarded?
Those cases allow attorney's fees to be awarded against an indigent party. In fact, sanctions can also be awarded against an indigent party.
Okay.
This case is, my name is Greg Stevens, and I'm representing Chase Bank USA in this particular case. Rule 91A is very clear and very concise. The statute says, the Texas Rules of Civil Procedure say, the court must award the prevailing party all costs and reasonable attorney's fees incurred with respect to the challenged cause of action. There's two exceptions that were built into the rule. One is for governmental entities, and one is for public officials in their official capacity, which is not the case here. Being indigent is not an exception. The statutes mean what they say. Section 312.002 of the Texas Government Code specifically states that word should be given the ordinary meaning. Must means must. In this particular case, the court properly awarded Chase its attorney's fees. I read the cases that were cited by appellant, and I understand he's pro se and he's done, I think, a fine job. However, all those cases that he is citing were attorneys, where someone who was indigent did not have to pay attorney's fees, were criminal cases which are governed by the Code of Criminal Procedure. It's not if those are not applicable to civil cases, and one of the main reasons we're comparing apples and oranges in this particular case. In this particular case, Mr. Drake, or the appellant in this case, purposely availed himself of the district court in Denton County, Texas. I can't speak for all criminal cases, but one would safely assume that the criminal defendant is not there voluntarily. The cases he cites where he doesn't have to pay attorney's fees are for the court-appointed attorneys that the court appoints to represent a criminal defendant. That has nothing to do with this particular case where Mr. Drake filed the lawsuit, a Rule 91A motion was filed, and the court, after giving it consideration, granted it. Therefore, Chase would request that this court affirm the award of its attorney's fees and the granting of attorney's fees against the appellant in this case. The trial court also considered the evidence for the amount of fees. Mr. Drake had the opportunity, the appellant in this case, to cross-examine the witnesses, and after hearing the testimony of the attorneys, the trial court actually reduced the fees that were awarded against Mr. Drake. He reduced them from a $4,000 request on behalf of Chase to $2,480, and the trial court basically indicated on the record that he took into consideration Mr. Drake's pro se status. He didn't have discretion, and the statute does not give him discretion to not award attorney's fees. He had certainly a discretion in the amount, and he awarded a lesser amount than was seeking. And for the record, Chase is not appealing the reduction in the award. In addition, Rule 91A states that fees must be awarded on a challenged cause of action. You know, the motion for reconsideration was part of the challenged cause of action. It didn't make any sense, and the statute does not make any sense, to allow fees for the initial hearing, but not allow fees for the motion for reconsideration, where the appellant in this case dragged everybody back up to the courthouse for another bite at the apple. So in conclusion, it is Chase's position that the court properly awarded attorney's fees, properly dismissed Mr. Drake's or the appellant's case under Rule 91A for failure to state a cause of action. And part of the statute is clear, and part of the reason why this rule is put into effect so courts can dispose of meritless claims fairly quickly and efficiently. If he had pled other causes of action, the attorneys wouldn't have filed the Rule 91A motion. That was not the case here. It doesn't bar indigent plaintiffs from the courthouse, but maybe it will make them potentially think twice before they file a cause of action that has no basis in law and no basis in fact. Therefore, Chase respectfully requests that this court affirm the judgment of the Denton District Court in all respects. Thank you.
Thank you. Rebuttal?
I will make a very quick rebuttal, Your Honor, in the fact that most of what the appellee's attorney said was true, with the exception that I did not have an opportunity to properly examine the attorneys. The judge stopped me. I've taken 27 depositions so far in my lifetime. I'm very good at examining a person. I know what questions to ask and not ask. And I was getting to the point. How did you come up with this figure? How did you come up with these figures? How come they're so close together? Did you guys talk about each other and say, hey, this is what we're going to file? So I did not have an opportunity to really thoroughly examine them. The court wouldn't let me. And if you send it back, the court still won't let me. The court just ignored me because I am pro se. Now, I again say to the court that I've heard what the appellee said in regards to the 91A, the language in it. But I still affirm to this court that as an indigent party, being faced with $4,000 of attorney's fees, would be overwhelming. And that if you don't have a chance to thoroughly examine the witnesses, to do what you need to do to show a case, and when attorneys are given false information to the judge, and he accepts because they're officers of the court, these are the two issues that I think this case represents. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Your case is submitted, and y'all are both dismissed. We'll now call the second.